Hi, I'm Coach MK, founder of the Fitness Protection Program. I'm a run coach, not a life coach. We're never really talking about the running. Running is the tool. It's the conduit we use to examine the world we live in, as well as its impact on our own lives and the lives of the people around us. How we react to certain people and to certain stories tells us a lot about how we view ourselves. I'm committed to the thoughtful, intentional exploration of the importance of running so that no one discounts their own badassery, ever. Final note, this podcast is geared towards every runner who won't lose their home, livelihood, or health insurance if they show up to the corral with a hangover. Not that I'm encouraging you to do that, just saying. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fitness Protection Podcast.
Hello. You want to turn it towards you though? So I'm gonna have my typing face on here for a second.
Your typing face is my favorite face. Sarah's MK's resting work.
Allison, Melly, and Ann Rich are here. Hello.
Hello.
It's so fun to be together. Yay. Sorry we're not both on camera. And we will adjust once I get the questions queued up so that everyone can see us both a little bit better.
Okay. Yeah, we have some good questions here.
Are my glasses over there?
I'm normally more on top of this.
Okay, sorry. I don't necessarily need them. I just want to not leave them. Have fun with traveling when you have ADHD. It's like, where are my glasses? Where are my keys? Have you seen? It goes to a brand new level of what the F in anxiety.
All right. I have to say, though, that like, Sherry, you have talked about that before. And it's not that I was like expecting that sharing a room with you was going to be like, oh my gosh, MK stuff is going to be everywhere. But like, you're very contained. Your stuff is very like, props to you for that.
Thank you.
I know that you like are very intentional about where you put stuff and to make sure that you don't forget about things and lose things and whatever. And I just want to say like, you do a very good job and I'm very impressed.
Okay. Thank you.
I
lived to impress Dr. Coach Sarah Axelrod of Harvard University.
Not that you needed to, but I just want to say, it's been, I was saying that we just recorded an episode of the Fitness Protection Running Life podcast, which was very fun to actually get to do live together. And
with the podcast editor.
With our podcast editor in the room, which is like very fancy. This is like having fancy
timing cues.
Yay! I know.
She held up a time card when we needed to wrap it up so we could go live on Facebook.
Very impressed.
Very, very impressed. And
so official.
Amazing.
And I was saying on that podcast that like that sharing a room with MK and watching her work like on a continuous basis over the course of several days.
She works during sessions too, listening and working.
It's really amazing. It's really, really, really amazing. So I just want to say MK works hard for you all. She really does. And I know that you know that. It's even more than you think.
It's just funny, like because the stuff that I do doesn't look like traditional work. So it's easy to look at my BlackBerry, what are you doing? And then it's kind of hard to explain. Like, oh, I had an idea and I need to flesh this out. I just remembered a dot that needed to be connected. This said made me think of, it's always producing something. It's always producing something that creates value. I just think at this point, we've been so conditioned to think that anyone who is staring at a screen is de facto distracted, that the only work is like manual labor or surgery. And in between, it's just made up. That I appreciate the validation, if nothing else, from like watching you work. Like, yes, thank you, that is work.
Oh, no.
Everybody needs time to do it.
You know, we do it, then all of a sudden you're like, all right, and like you spout out a few things to me, and then I'm like, okay, I'm gonna keep up with that. And then you go back to it's quite impressive.
Yes.
So if you have it out sometimes, I'm just ready.
No, it's great. You guys have been like catching the ball and running really, really well.
I feel like we've been a really great team. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It really has. There's never been a trip I've enjoyed as much as I have enjoyed this. Although there have been times I've sweated a whole lot less.
That is so true. Thank God I brought so many clothes because I have needed costume changes like regularly.
I was going to say, but I woke up in grossness that people can hear. The infection's moving, so it's hacking.
Well, I mean, at least it's that type of grossness as opposed to, like, the grossness that I might have woken up next to in my 20s. I'm just saying, perspective, Chris, you're winning at life.
I mean, I felt totally. Awesome, I feel good. Then, like, I woke up and everything just started, and I was like, I got to get this out before I can go see people.
Well, that's why you just all you need is pretty earrings. And no one will care what's coming out your mouth when you got something good hanging out your ears.
See, I did find the I'm wearing earrings. I'm wearing his earrings.
Yay. It's been very, very fun. And we have a few people watching on Facebook, Andrea and Anne and Allison. It's really, it's very fun to be together. It's very fun to be together in real life. It's very fun to see all of you. Also, every time I think I'm leaning into the camera, I'm actually leaning away from the camera.
I know,
Facebook
right?
Life really messes with me.
Yeah, well, it takes a long time to get used to any camera looking at you, much less like dealing
right.
with like the mirror image of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still am not great with it when I'm, because when I'm recording something, when I'm writing on the whiteboard, most of the time, it's recording dead on, so what you see later will be exactly what I'm doing. But
right.
when I'm checking to see if it's coming across, I'm seeing a backwards image of it.
Yes.
And that is...
It is super weird.
Super weird.
Yeah. Yeah, same thing when I'm doing strength live, which is not great when I'm, like, trying to... I'm like, oh, I need to move my knee in that direction, and I think I'm moving it in that direction, and I'm actually moving it in the opposite direction.
And by the way, Nation means this. Sitting like...
I'm not sitting like that right now.
No, you're not. You're not. You've been incredibly restrained in your skirt on this entire trip. I can see the moments you like start to shift it up and I'm like, oh no, not in here, Sarah, but go for it. It's fine. Might as well. It's like no one's wearing suits. I don't think you're gonna care.
Maybe she did it once and that's why the creepy guy follows.
That could be. He's just waiting for the moment, the parasail moment of getting out of the limousine. Shoot, yeah.
I don't think I do it without realizing it. I don't think it's totally involuntary.
No,
saying.
No,
some body like, awareness.
I feel like you're looking for that opportunity that it's like, you know, get your foot up on the seat, which would be more comfortable. The seats are terrible.
The seats are terrible.
Yes. The conference is fantastic. The people have been really lovely. It's just conferencing. It's like going to a wedding. You're like, how is the food? Well, why would you ask that? It's going to be terrible.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably been, you know, sitting around too long because they took too long to get through all the toasts. And so it's a little bit dried out. Not that I just went to a wedding last weekend.
I'm saying, nobody buys pizza. Like, you can't. It's really hard to mess up pizza.
Yeah. Right. Well, we have some questions to get through. And now, I'm going to move this camera again because I thought I had it. There we go. Okay. I think we're both in it. It's just that the chat is obscuring that side.
I completely get it.
Doing both, streaming from both things at once is definitely...
Multitasking is hard, y'all. That's why I tell you guys to do it.
It is very hard. And so I'm going to do what I usually do, except that you can actually see me doing it now, which is weird.
So
I'm going to do my best not to be weird about it. I can't see what my face is doing while I read these questions.
Right, which is why I've said to you before, it's so valuable that you do that, because I'm like, it weirds me out that I can't see what's happening.
Totally.
So just be able to like trust you. There's Jesus take the wheel, then there's just Sarah do it. It's like the same level of trust out there.
It's also like, Chrissy, cut it. Like we say sometimes when we're recording. We know she's gonna cut it. We've reverted from like speaking directly to you to just talking about you to you. Oh, Chris will cut this out. Yeah,
this won't matter once Chris got her hands on it. It'll be good.
So with Runner Interrupted, Coach Jen is enjoying an amazing little getaway right now that involves wine tasting and beautiful views. She's been texting me some pictures, and I am so happy for her. So she will not be joining us. She will be back next week, either in person or with a voice memo. So we are going to do our best to fill her shoes and read the weekly wins from Runner Interrupted.
Do it!
The first of which... Weekly wins. My post-surgery checkup went probably the best it could go. I also got a 10-minute and a 25-minute walk this week.
Yay!
That is huge.
Wow.
And having a post-surgery checkup go well, I hope that feels as exciting and inspiring as it sounds to us. Just for, if you have not listened to Ask Away with Coach MK and Coach Sarah before, Runner Interrupted is our program for runners currently not running. For whatever reason, whether it's because life is lifing, as someone said this morning, or because they're injured, they're not able to do the things they want to do. And it's really hard. That's the hardest work of all, to not be doing the thing you want to do, or to be doing the thing that you want to do, but not in the body that you're used to doing it in.
That's so true.
Yeah. And so someone who's been through surgery recently, and we have a couple in Runner Interrupted, we're here for you. You're working really hard. Next weekly win for me was healing from dental surgery. This is another surgery. And being able to run a few miles. My hubby's health is on a good stretch, and we are sleeping a few hours at a stretch, too.
That's huge.
That is huge.
It's really big.
Yeah.
my gosh. Because don't ever forget, running more slowly than you want to go in any given moment is the hardest thing you will ever do by that logic. And that's not just logic. That is fact. That is biology. That is how this world works. If you are running, not running, you are doing the hardest work that there is to do, the hardest work that you will ever, in fact, do. And that's why we want to support you. We're here for the hard stuff.
That's right. Next one, weekly win for me was using time I would have normally spent running on other less physical hobbies I don't often take time to do. The result was successfully completing my first two-tier semi-naked cake for a bridal shower I was hosting.
They had me naked.
I had the exact same thought. I believe this person shared photos in the Runner Interrupted Facebook group. So if you are in Runner Interrupted,
I'm gonna
you
have
should,
to get in there.
Yeah, we're going to have to get in there and check that out because... If you're watching and you're commenting, please, I would love some more context. I would love to know more about what a naked cake is.
Is that like the Naked Chef? Is that?
I really don't know. I have to. So you know what? Actually, why don't I go look at the picture of this part? Okay, she posted a picture of it. It isn't Runner Interrupted.
Wow.
And oh my gosh, this is beautiful. This is spectacular.
Is really, wow.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to get permission from this person to include this picture in the show notes because this is really
that needs to be like the winning at life.
Yes, for next week's newsletter. Oh my gosh, totally.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, I'm flagging this. Thank you so much for sharing that. That is seriously impressive. Look at those flowers. Look at the layers. Oh my goodness. Okay.
I'm not capable of producing that.
No, me neither. Me neither. I am really, really impressed. That's a huge win. Congratulations, and especially the part. Where you take the time you normally spend running on other hobbies, doing things that are fulfilling to you, rather than letting that time just kind of go and put it into other people and other things and work and obligations. I'm glad that you are using it to do something that you don't normally get to do. And that felt really good. Hosting a bridal shower sounds like a lot of work. I hope that was good and fun.
But if it gave you a good excuse to make a cake and that was what you wanted to do,
seriously,
we're all for it. What we discourage is doing something that you feel like you have to do during a time when you're already not doing the thing that you want to do. This is not the time to take on other people's crap because you got plenty of your own.
Exactly.
I really hope that was a purely selfish decision, and it looks like it was since you say that you like it.
Yes.
But yeah, congratulations. Generally speaking, Runner Interrupted, we do not advise you to look at yourself as having free time.
Right. Free time to give away.
Right.
Don't give it away.
No, you put it here.
That's right. So we have one question in Runner Interrupted, which I'm going to put to you.
Okay.
Question, can I run through shin splints and how do I mitigate them?
I wouldn't. If like me, I'm not saying like don't run at all. I'm saying I would get to the source. Oh, that's the moment I wish we were in my room because I've got my therapist's thumb in there. And that's some of the toys that I brought. The two things that contribute to shin splints. One is lack of glute strength. So you'd be like pulling yourself forward with each foot strike. And that's why I discourage leaning over when you run. You want to have like a nice locked cage that starts with control at the bottom in between your hip bones and extends up through your collarbone. Instead, that comes from thinking about the back. That's why I block that's where the cue comes from. It's not to think about the front where you like lean forward. It's to open up in here. And that why that matters is because when your center of gravity is where it needs to be over your hips and your feet are landing under your hips, the chances of you, they call it overstriding, but I'm really, that's the wrong way to look at it. If you're the stride is a function, like form is a function of strength. Let's start there. And if you're forcing a faster pace that your body's not ready to do, your shins, which are teeny tiny muscles, just like your hamstrings, are going to be dragging you forward doing work that they were not designed to do. It's actually inefficient. That's a sign that your body's doing something that either it doesn't want to do or it isn't ready to do. And this is the point in time where I'd be like, let's mobilize and go see a physical therapist, get checked out, and make sure that whatever it is that you lack, we're not just kind of guessing at, because it's either going to come from going faster than your body's ready to go, doing something, your glutes are not assisting, the bigger muscles are not assisting in some way, so that little tiny muscle is overloaded. Or you really need to mobilize because it comes, or if your glutes are firing and your shin is like nice and supple and mobilized and like when you, there's no pain whatsoever when you get on top of Bertha and do a bone saw, then the issue could be coming from your shoes and it might be time for a new pair, but it is a lot easier to buy a new pair of shoes than it is to fix something inefficient further up the chain that might not be doing something you want to do. That's why I never talk about shoe replacement because really I'm like, let's start with PT, let's start with firing and getting, making sure, like having someone else tell you and evaluate you, check your glutes out, your booty out, make sure it's doing what it's designed to do. And then if you want, go buy your shoes. Shoot your Runner Interrupted. you deserve new shoes.
Yeah. Like go to the run store and make them pay a lot of attention to you.
And get some earrings.
And I get some earrings. I'm having a real fun time just turning my head. You hear that? I love it. Okay. That is it for Runner Interrupted. Hello, Sarah Seberg. Yay. Hi, Kavlin. Hi, Stacy. It's so fun to see people tuning in. Even though it's Saturday, it's so nice for you guys to be flexible with your schedules and still want to come say hi. All right. That is all for Runner Interrupted. Let's move into Rebuild. And we have one question in Rebuild tonight.
Okay.
So totally fine if you don't want to get into this now. Obviously, we want to get into this. But just listen to podcasts, and I'm so excited for New York. I want to know if you have advice for spectators. MK, do you have advice for spectators in New York? Are you a professional spectator of the New York City Marathon?
I am now.
Yeah.
I am now, especially after last year my husband bought me finish line tickets in the VIP area. Word to the wise, if you do buy the finish line tickets in the VIP area, the bathrooms shut down at noon. So
that's so good to know. Oh my God.
I got to see my Elite Cross finish line, and then I had to go to the bathroom and was like, oh, whoa. Whoa.
The bathroom shuts down at noon?
They start taking down the VIP area after the winners across the finish line, because that's when coverage, the official like live coverage of the marathon ends.
Got it.
So as they start taking down that media area on the left side of the road, on the right side of the road continues. And now I see, so if you want to watch the winners get crowned and all that stuff, you want to be on the VIP area. It's like $250 ticket on the left side of the road. The right side of the road, it's a little bit cheaper. And some of them, I think some of the stands are free. The later the day it is, I think like it's just, you just show up and you're not going to have to be with anyone for a seat. But if you have the opportunity, it's a really cool and fun thing to do. If this is a one and done and you're coming internationally, consider getting the VIP experience just to watch winners cross the finish line. If you know the person that you're waiting for is coming like 5-6 hours after the winner would have finished, great. Have a game plan, because getting out, around, going to the bathroom, and coming back is going to be tricky. So do a little bit of legwork. Prepare to be to close it out on the right side, and crossing over is harder than it sounds. There's no easy way to do it. You've got to go outside, down the chute, then walk a mile back in the park on the other side to get there. But it can be done. The main rule for spectators would be like, don't make this harder than it has to be. Remember, no matter what color you wear, there are 55,000 other people out there with you. You will not be the only one wearing neon green or neon anything.
Yeah.
Everybody's wearing a very individualistic color, and that's cool. But do download the app and track your person and have a plan in place about where you're going to see them. Because it pretty much any point, it is really hard to see a person in a marathon. It's like trying to catch a sparrow in a hurricane. Good luck. Tanya is so hard. Tanya Tucker wrote a song about it too. Don't have any idea what I'm talking about. Oh my God, you're so young and from the North. So there you go. Here we are in Georgia. Two sparrows in a hurricane. Go Google it. But yeah, I tell you this, it is really, really hard. Needle in a haystack. Maybe you heard of that. Trying to find a runner in a marathon is like a needle in a haystack. So have a plan about where you want to be and what you want to do. And make sure it isn't terribly unpleasant, because asking someone you love to sit in one place for 6 hours and wait for you to come by is a huge ask. Do a little bit of legwork ahead of time. I will be starting the race. My wave, the Corral Pet Placements, just came out this week. My wave starts. I'm in the middle of wave two, and I took the start line at like 10:10 in the morning. So if my husband was coming, I don't think he can this time. But if he was coming to watch me, I would be like, okay, well, we're staying on the south side of the park. So the place you would want to wait for me would be, the south side of the park coming back in, or somewhere around a Columbus Circle, so that you can make a quick exit. You can go to the bathroom, eat, have a drink in Columbus Circle, walk one block north and come around this time and come wait for me. And if I don't pass through in this time period, just go back, you know, go wait at the finish line, because I'm going to need help when I get there.
Yeah.
But that, so I would do, that is my biggest bit to a spectator. It's like, the marathon is terrific. It is fun. New York wraps itself around the race, which is to say it shuts down. So crossing New York is going to be very, very tricky. If you're staying somewhere in an Airbnb, make sure you are not in a walk-up, because that is hard. A lot of walk-ups, especially in Hell's Kitchen, can be 4 or 5 stories tall. Do you really? And Hell's Kitchen is hard to get to, and the city shut down. So if you have to walk the 2.5 miles from the finish line chute to your Airbnb and walk up 5 flights of stairs, that's just a dignity on top of a dignity. I would highly recommend having some sort of a game plan of what you're going to do and where you're going to stop. I have known people in the past that have been like, you know what, we're going to come out and here's the closest restaurant. We're going to go one block south and hang out here. And we're going to catch our breath and do like a spot bath in the bathroom and then wait another hour and have to get a taxi or whatever. I don't really care what you do, but think it through. Do not assume you're going to be able to get a Lyft or an Uber. Go with Uber, actually. Wait, we went from delete Uber to like, what the F are you doing, Lyft? Oh, my God. You might not be able to get a taxi or an Uber. And especially not if you're trying to cross back to the east side of the city or heading south in any way. So do a little bit of legwork and logistics first. And at any point you find yourself saying, I'll figure it out. I'll be fine. Just know your brain is making a bet that your legs are going to have to cash.
And remember that when jillions of people are all using their cell phones at the same time, it is going to be hard to get a connection.
Another thing people aren't.
That's something you have to remember. Sarah Seberg is chiming in Facebook Live. Thoughts on same shoes every day or 2 to 3 different shoes to rotate through? Background, I ran an A6 Keanu forever and then had foot issues and a running store put me in Hoka, which helped, but I really don't like them. So I've been alternating and it works. Running store also recommended Brooks. Forget the model. So I'm considering getting those with my birthday gift cards. Yay, birthday gift cards! Because can one really have too many running shoes?
No.
The answer to that is no.
No.
Do you have thoughts on the rest?
I have always had thoughts on the rest. So thank you for asking that. I appreciate it. When it comes to shoes, like I personally have shoes when I'm fit and I have options. But like I have a day where I go to the track and a day where I can hit a trail and a day when I've got a long run or a tempo run. I have a different shoe that I like better for each type of workout that I do. Like the shoe, the mint green shoes that I brought with me, but you saw me stumbling around. I'm like, these shoes are not made for walking. These boots were not made for walking at all. And they're terrific. They're very pretty. They're the Nike Zoom Fly 3. I was talked into them by my best friend, who was like, you know, these are fantastic. And I'm like, you're such an ass. I do not need more shoes, but because I do pretty much whatever he says to do, he doesn't ask for much. So I'm like, okay, here are the links about the shoes. And they're both fantastic. Like I got to say, Nike's have come a very long way. They're the evil empire, but the shoes they make are very, very fast. The trade-off with the Zoom Flies, which is that's the Zoom Flies and the Vapor Flies are the models that were designed to break 2 in the marathon, like you saw happen this morning.
And that's Sarah's next question. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, with those shoes are horrible to walk in because if your heels are not hitting the ground, and it's expected that they will not be if you're running that fast and that efficiently, there is something, the whole heel strike notion of trying to not heel strike is just it's not going to work. Yeah. I've talked before, it's form as a function of strength. What you need to focus on is getting strong, and the good form will naturally follow out of that. Once you are there, these shoes are really helpful. If you are trying to jump into these shoes ahead of time, though, it is just hard to get around. I was falling over left and right because there's just no support in them. They're great for running. They're great for relentless forward motion. They are kind of hopeless for everything else. So tell you this, some shoes are hopeless, but have one good purpose, and that's not a great reason to throw a shoe away. Not buy that shoe ever again. I would just find excuses to wear it. That's how I feel about my earrings, and that is very much how I feel about my shoes.
Mm-hmm. And so Sarah's other question is, do you have thoughts you want to share about Eliud Kipchoge and the 1:59:40 marathon?
We all knew this was going to happen at some point. A 4:33 pace is ridiculous. It's incredible that it happened. It's incredible that it happened in our lifetime because we really truly thought we were, I mean, Steve Magness, I think, said that we were like 15 to 20 years away from this breakthrough happening. On one hand, it would have been more fun to see it happen in head-to-head natural competition. True. It would have been more fun to see it not in, this was not a, this is better than the last attempt, which was what they would have called a factory setting, paid for by a shoe company and a very specific set of circumstances that would have made us a little hard to trust. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you know, the whole spirit of competition, distance running has not been doing itself a whole lot of favors. So the spirit of competition has been spoiled for a whole variety of reasons. I kind of hate that this is happening the week after doping is the first thing on everyone's mind, and how did this happen is a question that will be lingering in the back of many, many minds at the moment. I kind of wish there was a little more separation in those news cycles for his sake, because I don't think he was doing, there is no credible evidence or reason to believe that this was forced, that it was created by a set of highly favorable circumstances. A lot of people would prefer that it happened in a race situation, but the fact that it happened is still kind of like, wow, he did that. And we're more likely to trust it in this sort of circumstances than we would if it happened in a head-to-head competition, say, at the Olympics, which a lot of enforcement agencies have not been doing their jobs, and people have been paying a price for that. So I tell you that to say this is very conflicted about it. I want to be happy for him. I am happy that this would, that this achievement occurred. I hate that there are so many question marks on everyone's minds right now where the wrong dots might be crossed, where the wrong connections might be made about how that happened. See, it has nothing to do with the Nike Oregon project, Alberto Salazar, or, I mean, and by all accounts, he's a terrific guy.
Yeah,
people really like him, and that's an unusual thing to hear in a world of distance running and high-level athletes. Like, you'll hear people say, after their careers are over, this person is really nice. But there are others you just don't hear very often.
He's also really good at Twitter. His Twitter is great.
His Twitter's lit.
Yeah. And I want to say one more thing, which Allison Wade said on the Fast Run on Twitter, which is that it is really cool. Also, you have to remember that these types of things are also the reason why these advancements are made in men's sports and not in women's sports. Just because there is not currently a woman who is close to a really attractive number, like a really round number that has this mystical hold over everybody, that has meant that no one has put the kind of money and resources and energy behind female marathoning. And I think it's important to say that and recognize it.
I completely agree. I would love to see a breaking 220 or break the A standard is what I would want to call it. Because the Olympic men's A standard was 217. The Olympic women's A standard, I believe, is 230 or 236, unless they lowered it to 229 this past year. So
the A standard did get lowered. I believe it is
229 now.
Yeah.
So I would love to see like money put into women achieving the men's B standard. You know, not I don't love that two standards exist. Title IX is important. It's complicated and muddied and difficult to talk about, but I would like to see the equivalent put into the women's side. And I'm guessing the reason it hasn't is because they would effectively be chasing the best of the best females would be chasing the best standard of the males. And that would be drawing more attention to the gap between the two. That, or at least that's going to be the justification behind not doing it.
Right.
Because it would also justify a lot of the reasons why women's sports are treated as less than. It's another one of those issues, like women are a protected category in sport and there are no easy answers. But it would be terrific to see equal weight thrown behind these really incredible women. Really incredible women, none of whom have been directly linked to doping. And some of the men, there are a lot more question marks around the men that are racing right now than there are women. I'll say that.
And the fact that Sarah Hall just won the Berlin Marathon and then came back a week later and won the Twin Cities 10-miler, right? And she is a very clean athlete in a lot of very credible and verifiable ways. And she has not gotten a whole lot of attention. She's not gotten the kind of attention for it that you would expect.
Because the news cycle
has been dominated by Alberto Salazar.
Yeah, I didn't like. I had to Google it. It wasn't even a headline. Sarah Hall wins Berlin Marathon. Sarah Hall PRs. Like when I tried googling different things to find the article to cite it for Nuzzle last week, and it just broke my heart how hard I had to look for it.
Yeah.
So if I got to ask Sarah Hall a question right now, it would be this: Matt, your husband is still one of the fastest living runners alive. No one's beaten some of the records that he set, especially at London. After that, he would go on to be self-coached, saying he wanted God to be his coach. Y'all got a lot of pushback against that. Most of it was ugly. I have to wonder, now that Ryan is your coach and you're winning everything there is to win, how much fun are you having? Do you go home and do this? Do you go home and do that? I would totally go home and do this. They strike me as a really classy couple. They probably don't go home and do this. They probably, you know, go home and hug your children and pray. And like this reaffirms our faith. It's taken. But that is such a great thing to see. Because you don't get that sort of narrative arc ever. And not to say that's like, why no one's talking about it, but I just want to be the one to talk about it. I think it's super cool that someone invoked that one half of a couple who invoked faith which evoked laughter is now getting the last laugh in a really big way.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, when she won the Twin Cities 10 miler in 2017, there was this YouTube video of her kids watching at home, like watching on the screen and just cheering for her. I watched it so many times. It made me cry. Like makes me cry thinking about it right now.
Yeah.
Oh God. She's really cool. And it has been really cool to follow her. And I'm so happy for what she's got coming to her this year. She just like really, really deserves it. And she's racing New York City.
Yes.
So let's see what she's gonna do.
I know, with Roberta Groner too. By the way, Roberta Groner, I didn't know this, has at least one, maybe two children on the spectrum. She's raising money for Autism Speak. She's at $2,100. I donated $50 last night. All she wants to raise is $2,500 by her participation in the New York City Marathon. Find Roberta Groner. Her Twitter is at Marathon
245.
Marathon Girl. I should have done this. Popped at me. We'll find it. We'll put the link in the show notes or
somebody
time it. If someone finds
it
before I do, we're going to put up in there. But if you, I had no idea. I have a lot of love for Roberta Groner. She's 41 years old. She's amazing. She came in sixth in Marathon Worlds. She is a champion amongst champions who has been facing a lot of uphill battles. And she's the every woman we like to point to. She's a full-time nurse. She is not a sponsored professional runner, but she is doing incredible things on her own. She has really turned her hobby into something ferociously good, excellent, and cool. So I was thrilled to see that she was raising money for something that's close to my heart, since I too am a special needs mom. I didn't even ask a lot of questions about the organization itself. I know that a lot of people have a lot of opinions about that organization. I will say this: I support Roberta. I gave $50. If she or that cause speaks to you in any way, I would ask you to consider supporting her two fundraising steps.
Marathon Girl 245. That is Roberta Groner's Twitter handle, and I have to imagine the 245 has to do with her former marathon PR, which is no longer the marathon PR. She's so far past 245. It's crazy. She's amazing. All right. We had a question rebuild. That was our one question rebuild. Thank you, Sarah, for chiming in with questions. Yay.
As always, we love you, Sarah.
Yes, we love you so much. If you're listening on Twitch or Facebook and you have questions, whether they're follow-up questions or new questions, please put them in the comments and we will get to them when we can. We're going to dive into Maintain now. Yay, Maintain. So, first question is, hi, coaches. After all my talk of a goal race being a 5K, I signed up for a half on November 23rd.
Of course you did.
Halves are better than 5Ks, I have to say. 5Ks are really, really painful. Anything special I need to do between now and then? I missed about half of the long runs in September. Thanks for everything.
I would get the long runs back in, now. I would not go out and run like 12 miler tomorrow to try to play catch up, but I would make a real goal. Time on your feet is going to matter more than anything else. Ask yourself, what do I need to get out of this half? Don't make it up on race day and then be like, oh, I didn't get that, therefore I suck. That's what a lot of people do. So I would go into it with this, knowing I'm fit enough to show up. Yay! That is exactly going to be my attitude to the New York City Marathon. It is not going to be pretty, y'all. It is not going to be pretty, but I'm going to be there. And I'm going to celebrate every step for that reason. So I would encourage you to do the same. I'm fit enough to be here. Yes, you are. The greater, your odds will be greater. The odds of not sucking will be greater each day you get out to do a run. The consistency matters more than anything else. Don't worry about getting one hard run or one super long run. Just try to do the plan as written as much as you can between now and race day. And that's the best you could possibly ask for. Because if you've not been running consistently, then we need to get back into that habit. 30 minutes a day, 5 days, or even better, 6 days a week is going to go a heck of a lot farther than 2 hour long runs and whatever long run you decide to pull out your rear end as you tie your shoes on that morning every single time.
Good answer. Next question. Hi, wonderful coaches. Hi.
Hi.
I'm on the marathon ramp and I'm looking ahead a few weeks. I'm traveling for work and might choose to not run the M2 on the scheduled day so that I may use that day to do tourist stuff. Can I push it to Thursday? So the M2 is the Wednesday workout on the dedicated ramp and keep the Stride Sandwich 80/18 miler as scheduled on Friday and Saturday, which would be my preference. Or should I shift the whole week to keep the day off between the M2 and the Stride Sandwich? Not ideal. Or skip it altogether. Gah! Couldn't possibly. Depending on your answer, that was you saying that, not me. Depending on your answer, I may decide to shorten my tourist plans and run the M2 that afternoon. Anyway, thanks.
I wouldn't shorten the tourist plans. I really wouldn't. So I mean, because remember, this is 10 weeks. Tim, your race was set. Not going to be about like what run you didn't do, but rather, your year could be dominated by like the experience you didn't have on your vacation. So there is nothing that could happen on race day that is like going to be worth the trade-off, because it's never a one-for-one, right? Like if I do all the things and I will 100% get the reward, I think were we talking about that at the beginning of this podcast or the other one? You can do everything right and still not get what you worked for. That is totally possible. So with that, I would say maximize the utility of your vacation first in your family time, first unless your family sucks and you want to run away. Then yes, you need an 18-mile run every single day. I said so. Go get it. And if you're not sure, I'm saying it on a live stream. You show them this. She needs an 18-mile. You can clip it, Chrissy. She needs an 18-mile long run every day of this vacation. Just get away from y'all so she can relax and run a race. But seriously though, we just don't want to have two hard workouts back to back. That's it. Anything hard, more intense than an easy effort or longer than an hour is de facto hard. So just do whatever you have to do. Don't worry about what you don't do, because whether your race again is not going to be determined by this one hard effort run that you miss. I would rather you converted the entire week into something stress-free and really enjoyed your vacation and tried to get in as many of the runs as you can without sacrificing anything you want to do. That's always going to be priority number one, because whether you're still probably not going to beat Sarah Hall or Roberta Groner if they show up. And it's not going to come down to that one run you did.
And if you're on vacation at a pretty place, make it about doing an easy, no stress run in a pretty place. Like it's hard to do like an M2 is some mile repeats at your A pace. It's hard to find mile stretch in an area you don't know. MK and I had that experience yesterday of trying to run in Atlanta and not knowing where all the really long traffic lights are that we were going to have to stand there and wait at. It's not easy to do a workout where you have to hit a pace and hold on to it for a little while. So, you know, just don't stress about that. Sarah says, by the way, I ran 11 today. Yay, Sarah.
Yay, Sarah.
Woo.
That's so good. No foot pain. That's huge.
She posted about it and maintained and said it was really, really great. She did it with her BRX. Yay!
I'm so thrilled for you, Sarah. I really am.
Really, really happy for you. That's so awesome. You've had a rough year. You deserve to have a really fun race on November 3rd, which is, I believe, when your race is. So yay for that. Okay. Hi, coaches. Emma Ross here. I've had a bit of a setback. I strained my hamstring a bit, and I'm seeing a PT who does not want me to try running again until Wednesday. That means I'm missing two long runs in a row, and this is supposed to be week two of my marathon ramp. Okay. The PT is also a runner, and she talked with me extensively about my training schedule, and she says that there is no reason to think that I won't be able to run sim, which is great, and what I'm claiming to. I'm going to see her 3 times a week for the next several weeks. She said she would like me to run next week just Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, which is long run day. I wanted to hear your opinion of this approach. Also, I can ride a bike without pain, so I'm going to do that to keep up fitness while I'm not running. Any advice, thoughts, or moral support would be appreciated. Thank you.
Don't try to offset anything on the bike. Like, don't try anything you do to try to overachieve or close the gap or mix things up is going to be a bad decision. Well, again, what we want to look for is not closing the gap or making things up. We don't make up runs. We just miss them and we don't look back, and we focus on what we can do. If you can bike, you can probably also walk. And again, that shuffle is that whole bouncing motion is going to be getting your hamstrings, and that's what she wants you to avoid. You can also easily mess up your hamstrings if you get too excited on a bike too. So if you can bike, be sure you're biking the way that she's telling your PT is telling you to bike. I think that she prefers pronouns she ignored what you just wrote in there. So I would absolutely walk whatever you can. Try to match the time blocks in the training plan as much as possible. Not the intensity blocks, just the time blocks. If you have a 60-minute run, convert it to a 60-minute bike ride or 60-minute walk. We need the cardiovascular endurance, and we need to try to get the time on your feet where applicable. So since it's your hamstring, I'm guessing trying to stand on the bike for an hour, like that's going to do probably more damage to your hamstrings. I'm betting she wants you on a recumbent bike or something a little bit more gentle than, say, a spin class. So do that and don't worry about it, but do try to squeeze in walks wherever you can. So if you do like a 30-minute bike in the morning, try to do like a 10 to 20-minute walk at night, just like in one conscious block, or do one right after the other, get off the bike and then get on the treadmill. Again, try to get some of that time on your feet, because we really want to keep the crucial adaptations in your feet as much as possible. I'm more worried about that than I am about the lost fitness from the workouts that you're not doing. I'm worried about the lost critical adaptations that make your body suited to run continuously for a long period without stopping. And every day that you're not on top of your feet, asking them to bear your body's weight and pull you forward with locomotion, we are losing those adaptations.
So keep your head up, Emma, because you're doing all the right things. And it sounds like your PT is really in your corner, which is great. You know that we are in your corner. Keep us posted on how it's going.
I don't think the advice is bad at all. I always like a PT that kind of accepts, like, you're going to run no matter what they say and begs you not to, as opposed to one that's like, well, you're going to listen no matter what I say, so here's some exercises, bye, and they check out. So it's trying
to engage is good.
Yeah, because I mean, that's what Alex Lennon did for me. He was like, look, you're a runner. I know you're going to run. So but here's the least stupid thing you could possibly do. Because that's what I need to hear. What is my bat and what is the least stupid of all the stupids that I will come up with my untrained self?
So going back, this is Stacey. I think, Stacey, this must have been your question that we answered before, talking about how to do the vacation runs. She's saying, so you're saying to skip it? We're giving you our blessing to skip it if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Thank you for the answer. Harry Potter world it is.
Why in the world would you miss that?
Harry Potter world? Drink all the butterbeer and tell us all about it.
I mean, you're going to get an 18-mile run just wandering around in there. You're going to be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Seriously, so, everybody that goes to Disney.
The
M2
is like, it is one workout.
Time on your feet is all that matters. Yeah. You're going to be walking a marathon when you're in there.
Yeah. There are two M2s on the dedicated ramp. I did one of them on a turf field at a middle school. It was not ideal. And in retrospect, it was not worth doing because I don't think I got what you're supposed to get out of it. But it was the only place where I knew that I would, because Washington, D.C., I was visiting my in-laws. Washington, D.C. is all up and down and up and down. And I was like, where can I go to hit the pace? A turf field in middle school. Why did I do that? That wasn't necessary. I could have had a much more pleasant run where I wasn't worrying about that. I mean, it was fine. I didn't.
Why did you do that?
Because I am a type A person. I check all the boxes and I really wanted to do it. I was like, this sounds like a workout that I want to do. I wanted to do it. And in retrospect, did I need to do it? No.
Yeah.
But you know how I am.
I think I know how you are. Does that mean you are representative of our population? That's why you're a leader of this demographic. You are Dr. Sarah Hart, Dr. Sarah of Harvard University, Esquire. And you do what you do, boom. It's perfect.
But Harry Potter world.
Harry Potter world.
I'm jealous. That sounds so awesome.
Me too.
Yes.
I gotta say, I'm really excited. But the best thing about October is that Harry Potter starts coming out on the Freeform channel. And my Cheyenne is old enough to watch it with me. And I'm super excited to get into, like, TV in bed once we find the Apple remote, which Violet got into, which she probably heard in my I went into the ice machine the other day and a stick of butter popped, like, through the ice machine. I'm sure she had something to do with that too, because that's Violet. So I'm like, I'm dying to see where the Apple TV remote is going to pop out of next, because we are losing things now that she's more mobile than ever before. But once we find that, I'm going to be in bed with Cheyenne watching all the Harry Potters for the month of October on Freeform. That's
really
not a paid
fun.
Place, but that is genuinely something I'll look forward to every year.
Ugh,
if they don't do this, I'm going to be pissed. Freeform.
I can't wait for Roz to be old enough to watch Harry Potter. Yeah, that sounds really fun. Sarah Seabrook says, my mother-in-law is coming over Christmas. I may have to look for a January-February race, real or imaginary, to justify all the running. Or 3 days at the fair. Just saying, if you're doing 3 days at the fair, you got to dial it in real early. You know, you got to be on maintain. You got to be doing all the runs. No, you know. So
I mean, you got to do 2 days.
Gotta do 2 days.
And maybe a third.
Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta be out as much as possible, Sarah. If you're gonna do 2 days of
Coach
a lot of
so.
Dedication.
Yeah.
Especially during the months of what you said, January, February. Yes.
So January, February.
Yeah.
Those are the exact months. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For 3 days of fair. Just saying. Gotta
I'm sorry she came at such an inopportune time.
She should have checked with us, really.
She really should have. And since she didn't, if she hears this and changes, I would hate to have that wrong, since I'm making everything up right now. I'm not looking at the training plan. So
yeah, we're in Georgia.
Once she has confirmed her tickets, we'll tell you what the exact dates of hell months in this plan.
The most crucial months.
Where all the 2 and 3 days are.
Ooh, the 2 and 3 and 4 days.
That have to happen 10 miles away.
She says she's tempted.
Just saying.
Think about it real hard. Hi, Melissa. Melissa knows what we're talking about.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, Melissa.
Yes,
I hope you're coming too, Melissa.
I hope you are not relating to the mother-in-law question at all.
All right, maintain. We're keeping it going. So we did that one. Hey, coaches, can't wait to hear all about Atlanta. Hi. So talk me off the ledge. Much obliged. Another bout of insecurity and pre-race jitters. Both of my quote-unquote running partners who are going to run in the full marathon with me have shifted to the half. One was struggling with training, and the other was her husband, not that I would keep up with him because he's 7 times Ironman, woo, was diagnosed with gout. Oh no, the gout. Ouch. How do we put these insecurities at bay and toe the line? Love you both so much, Christy.
What's your insecurity?
We're going to do it, and now they both shipped the half, and she's doing
it. You still
want to
do it?
Just by herself?
You still want to do it?
That's a good question.
I mean, like, honestly, if you want it now, that's an out. So, I mean, is this insecurity or uncertainty? Because if what you're looking for is permission to drop down to the half, which is, I hate that concept, and I hate that language. It's like, we're just shifting over.
That's what, and she did say that. She said, they shifted to the half. You can shift.
Yeah, you can shift. You can shift. That's what you want. Do you want to be with your friend? Do you really want to run a marathon? If you want to run a marathon, yeah, you can do this. But do you want to do this? Do you want to do this solo? I mean, think about what it is you want to do and what it is you need to get. So let's reconcile like what you thought this is going to be versus like what you signed up to do in the first place. Because if you're doing one of those Disney races, and this is going to be fantastic no matter what, or it's clearly moving over is not a big deal. So knowing that that option is available to you, you can do whatever you want. What do you want to do? If you still want to continue, cool. Deciding not to run the marathon because you really don't want to do something for 6 hours by yourself is hardly the move of a quitter. That's an empowered choice of a grown-up. So do you want to be a grown-up who chooses to run this, not want it, or a child who is shamed into doing something that she doesn't want to do under the guise of being, in fact, a grown-up? So that's kind of where I would start that question, because I don't hear insecurity. I hear uncertainty. Like, you don't have to do this. Do you still want to do it? Great. You can. Let's find ways to make it palatable if you're not going to be talking to your bestie the whole way through the way that you had planned in the first place. Or maybe we find some way to have this suck a little bit less if you would like, you know what? I would really rather just run it with this person, even though it sounds like you haven't been training together. I would rather walk a half marathon with her since I don't get to see her that often. I would rather walk a half marathon with her and get to spend the time than run a marathon by myself that I have some questions about. So think about what it is you really want to do. You can do whatever. There's never going to be judgment here about saying, hey, although I can be, I do understand the disappointment. I've trained for a marathon. I want to do a marathon, but I don't want to do a marathon, this marathon, this way. I would rather do this other thing this other way. I absolutely see that as an empowered choice.
Yeah, me too. And this is Amsterdam, right? So, I mean...
Is it?
I'm pretty sure Christy's doing Amsterdam. Christy, I'm sorry if I'm wrong about that. But
I love that race.
I think you're going to have a really good trip, no matter what you do.
If I go to Europe anytime soon to run a race, I probably won't. But if I did, that's what I would pick.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's going to be beautiful. You could, you know, don't ride a bicycle in the race. That will get you in trouble.
That's bad.
But, you know, you could make it a trip that's about riding bicycles and eating chocolate or, I don't know, all the waffles. I think they have waffles.
Stroopwafels.
There you go. I think the only way you can do it wrong is to feel like you're being corralled into something that you don't actually want. Whether the shifting to the half would be the thing you feel corralled into, or the staying in the full would be the thing you feel corralled into.
Yeah.
And we know you. We know that you're capable of making an empowered choice. So know that we're behind you no matter which one you make.
You have the coolest job of anyone in this room, of anyone that I can think of. I mean, you're the legal protector of Hartley Davidson. I mean, I can't imagine anyone tells you what to do on a regular basis. All we do is kind of like set the course and say, like, please don't run over our faces in the process. So where do you want to get out of this and then go get it? Because knowing that your day-to-day might not sound that sexy, but at the end of the day, it's still one of the coolest things around. You're one of the coolest people around. Why in the world are you going to go fulfill someone else's dream? You are fulfilling my dream by running Harley Davidson in Europe. And getting photographed in that outfit on top of one. I thought that was amazing.
God.
I love your LinkedIn picture. It's still the greatest thing on earth.
Yes.
Greatest show on earth. In your Enzo tattoo.
Yes.
What would Enzo do?
This is what you have to ask yourself.
Good question.
Melissa says, yes, I'm going. Yay! Sarah Seberg, we love you too. We love you very, very much.
And I promise we're all so much more fun in person.
Seriously?
Especially now that I'm not pregnant and in massive mouse pain.
This 3 days of prayer is going to be so much fun. It was so much fun last time. It's going to be so much fun this time. We have, I think, one more question. Hi, I emailed actually to Coach MK and Coach Sarah, but if you could answer me here, that would be great. I've never officially reverse tapered after a full marathon in the past simply because I don't know how to do it. All I did was eat and rest and walk a few days the last week after the marathon. How to get back into a regular routine and how to jump back into the Fitness Protection Maintain program.
All right, so the first part of that, I always say that a rule of thumb is 3.5 days for every hour spent above race effort. So if you run a two-hour marathon, like, we know this will be, that's okay.
159.40, anybody?
If you ran a 2-hour marathon, just keep the math easy. And let's say only 1 hour of that marathon, your heart rate was above. The first half, your heart rate was below 65. The second half was above 165. Great. Take 3.5 days off. Take a 30-minute jog on day 4 and then ease your way back in. I would do 30 minutes on Wednesday, Thursday off. Go back to the routine as much as possible. 30 minutes on Wednesday, Thursday off. Friday, 45, Saturday, 75, and then the next week, go back to week 1. So I would just kind of, in a very controlled manner, do what you can, as much as you can of what's written, without feeling the need. Like 2 weeks after your race, you do not, in fact, need to be running a 2-hour long run, but the shortest long run we need to get into is about 75 to 95 minutes. So if you really need a plan to follow, and everything I've just said is really stressing you out, do this. Take 1 week off completely. Then go do week 4 of lane 2 of rebuild.
And you have access to both rebuild and maintain.
Yep. So you just put that in and then like go and put rebuild in and then then delete weeks 1, 2, 3. Shift week 4 up to the week after. Got the marathon, then week off, and then week 1 of rebuild. And then start the next month wherever it should go. Otherwise, go from week 4 lane 2 rebuild to week 1 maintain, then week 2 maintain, and then start the next month over. Mm-hmm. So high level, that's kind of, but it's no, I'm not saying like you've got to prescribe like rebuild lane 2 week 4, then 2 weeks of maintain, and then start the next month. We just want to fill it until we get back to the starting point. And the start point is the first day of every month. So whatever we need to do, look at the distance between the first day of next month and 1 week after. You're going to take one complete week off and start easing your way back in. If you aren't sure where to start, week 4 of lane 2 of rebuild is the best place, followed by week 1 of that month to maintain, and then get back on track as soon as you can, because more thought and more concern isn't going to lead to a better outcome. We just need you moving back on your feet without overdoing it.
Yeah. Reclaiming the habit is hard.
Yep.
Because especially if you've tapered, you know, the week before the marathon, you're not running too much. A week after the marathon, you're basically off. And so it's been 2 weeks since you were really in a routine where you were getting up early and doing the thing. I have found that difficult this past week.
She's got to run 16 with me tomorrow.
And now she talked me into running 16 miles with her tomorrow. I almost said that when you said we don't need a super long run 2 weeks out of the marathon. I was like, really?
I didn't say you needed to. I said you had to. Because I'll get lost.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
I can't see me, Sarah. Thank the children.
I'd be very selfless. I got to do it for Coach MK, and I got to do it for Cheyenne and RJ.
Because I'm looking forward to Harry Potter in October, Sarah.
I can't deprive them of Harry Potter.
No, I can't.
I can never do that. But you've got to find the Apple remote.
We're going to have to give up and buy one. God knows what Violet did with it.
Okay, Sarah Seberg says, slow burn question. Are we really doing 120-minute the week before our optional, the week before our optional something if we are racing or running a half? For a long run. So this is last long run of slow burn, assuming that you want to race or run a half at the very end, which she is going to do. She's going to run a half.
Yeah, I'd cut it down to 95 minutes.
Okay, there you go, 95 minutes. And 95 minutes, that's kind of, that's like the BATNA of the long run. That's where the long run benefits start to kick in. That's
yep.
The minimum you can run and still retain the benefit of the long run.
That's absolutely. We're still tapping into that energy system.
Yeah. And Melissa says, so happy I caught you guys. Have a great night in Georgia. Have to go. Bye, Melissa. We are so excited you're coming back for 3 days to the fair. It's going to be a great day.
Oh my gosh, ever since we said we had 27 people coming, I mean, the RSVPs have just been coming in, and I'm like...
more people. There have been more since then.
I know. It's fun. I know it's a ways off, but we're still like, yeah.
We're having a really good time, just the three of us here. It's going to be...
And there's no one I'm going to have to send you to network with. Go see if you can be the editor for this podcast, Chris. Oh my gosh, she's a beast,
by the way.
See if you
can do a loop with that guy over there who...
Chris Zarnack is a heat-seeking missile. You guys all need to know that. I had no idea. You have you would do well at Wharton. I got to pay Coach Sarah for
salary right away.
Oh my gosh.
Send her to Wharton.
You got to get the Apple remote before you can do anything.
Like baby steps. Baby steps.
Do we have any more questions? I don't see any questions in Twitch. Do we have any more questions in Facebook? I'm pretty sure I'm at the bottom of the chat. please shout out if you do. That is all we have for Maintain tonight. And so I believe that is it for Ask the Coach, the formal Ask the Coach.
Yay! Now we gotta go, you know, put on a pretty dress and big old earrings and turn the lights off. Actually, we're still out in Georgia. They're not even coming back on. It's already dark, probably.
You guys always look nicer than me.
You're very good. This is like the only time I get to put on clothes that I don't expect to sweat in.
Well, and also, editors when you go, they don't get dressed up.
They are so casual. It's glorious. Yes. I'm like, I
think the editors have such a chill vibe. And I'm like, I wish I could know.
Like, they're part of me that's like. Them looking like nice. I'm not like, you know what I mean? Like, not like kind of like casual. They'd probably be like,
and so far they are so excited to talk. Like, yeah, I know that if any, and I just assume anyone that's super cash now is an editor, and they all kind of find each other. Like Miriam this morning, just leaning over and jumping right into like, oh, Kara Gaster, did you see her? I met her last week. She's fantastic. And this woman
literally
is
happens
editor for the Spartan Races podcast. And she is terrific. And she is kind. And she's really sweet. And I've admired her work for a while because she does a lot of random, very, very, very cool stuff, as people in Vermont tend to do. And it's funny though, and like there, if ever you've heard that adage, be good to the help. I think it's easy to overlook podcast editors because I've been getting earfuls about, oh, do you know this person? Yeah, I worked on his podcast for a little while. Do you know this person? I worked on her podcast for a little while. I'll tell you. It just reminds
me of the world go around. That podcasts do not happen without good editors.
No.
And same goes for, honestly, one thing that there was this film podcast that I used to listen to a lot, and I really appreciated the way they, when they dived into the history of the film, they were like, the editors of these films mostly are women, and they do not get the credit for making this film work the way it does, making it memorable the way it is. Editing is everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything, because she makes it sound smart and polished. She cuts out my southern accent when I forget to tuck it in. It's amazing the things Chrissy does with sound, our sound engineer over here. But yeah, I mean, but it's true. This is the person correcting mistakes. That's trying to make you sound either clear or fantastic or how to. There's a lot more to it than you would think. I learned a lot about podcast editing when I was looking for an editor. Before I make a hire for something that is really critical, I don't want to know how to do it myself. I want to know how to spot it immediately when someone doesn't know what they're doing, and we can pivot and keep moving. And instead, I got the reverse. Chris has assured me her step of the way that she has no idea like what gear it is. She is so confused, but she's actually doing an incredible job. I am so grateful for everything you do, Chris. I'm so grateful for everything you volunteer to take on, for every suggestion. Like, hey, I could strip the sound from Ask the Coach and release it as a podcast. I'm like,
the reason that happened is because it was Chris's idea, and she said, you know, I can just do this.
And elected to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's wonderful. So the next time that we've got some secrets, very interesting secrets on some very famous people who have not been very nice to the people who produce their content. And I'm not going to be forgetting that anytime soon. It's very interesting to know. So I assure you, if I'm going to be kissing your butt that much harder now that I know how y'all talk. So if there is somebody that helps you out in some way and you have tried to negotiate down on their rate without realizing that what's standing between you and truly good content is the person that you're negotiating with, pay them a little bit extra, treat them a little bit more nicely, do tip them, and be gracious because they don't have to serve you and they don't have to keep your secrets either.
Just saying. Unless you made them sign an NDA.
At least
you probably didn't.
And I'm just joking when I say I've showed up without pants. I'm saying there's no one that's telling me I have to put them on. If you are a dude with women in the room, yes, you do need to wear pants. It ain't funny. That's a threat. Jesus.
Seriously.
Yeah, learn all kinds of fun things with She Podcast this weekend, y'all. Hang out with the editors. Oh my God, they got the stories.
They know where the bodies are buried.
Right?
Sarah, Andrea Loeffler says, so much fun to watch you all. Have a great time. So much fun. Thank you for coming. And Sarah says, but we love your Southern and fast talking and F-bombs. And it's true. And
I think she means your F-bombs.
Oh, yeah. Turns out, I curse a lot more than MK does. And we used to hear stuff about like how, oh, this is going to be an MK explicit whatever.
Yeah,
that had to be a thing. No one has asked me to censor myself, and I appreciate that. Please don't start. But also, like, it's interesting.
It is.
Is it because
what do people hear when I say it versus like how many times I say no, I got this check. Now I got this check, and y'all just like didn't hear. And people around the table were like, "You weren't kidding.
Well,
people don't hear you." I'm like, "Yeah, I know."
Well, that's because I've been trained to not let anybody get the check without protesting at least a couple of times.
Yes,
that's
yes.
actually intentional. It's not because I don't hear you.
I'm just saying.
I think you.
But you still don't believe it. Like, have I ever been like, no, just kidding, everybody can pull out your wallet?
Did you do that?
I might have to at some point. Like, well, if y'all insist, it's not going to pay you anyway. So I feel like I'm going to feed you.
We'll work for food and wine.
I mean, clearly. We
got to go buy Chris some drinks now.
Oh,
yay!
Gosh. Put on flashy earrings on Sarah.
Yay!
Oscar de la Renta.
These are amazing. And I love hearing them, like,
clink.
Yeah, they're very clinky. It's like there's someone's cheersing you in your ear all the time. That's what it feels like here.
That's what it's like to look at you, Sarah. It's like cheers in front of my eyes.
This collision of glory between the hair and the earrings
and all the happy that's using at your pores. It's been fun.
It's been really fun. Thank you. Making me blush a little bit in front of all the people on the Facebook.
Well, I mean, it's dark as fuck in Georgia. Ain't nobody gonna notice.
That is so true. Everybody, thank you. We love you. We really do have to go buy Chris some drinks now, so... talk to y'all soon. This is coming out as a podcast because we have an amazing podcast editor in the next couple of days.
Oh, we love you.
We love you. Have a great time. Bye.
A good one.